Hello and welcome to our body balance implementation call. This is our third one and I'm excited to hear what you all are up to, where you are in the process and because everybody's going to be a little bit different places because of the speed at which you implement and what's up for you and all that. So I'm curious to find out where you are. When we do these calls, I always like to start with a quick share of success, because success is breeds success, right? Happiness breeds happiness, right? We want to just keep on growing it and growing it and growing it. And we focus on a success and then I'll support you in whatever challenges you might be having. But let's focus on some of the successes because we want more of those, right? We want more. So I think I'm just going to go around, and if you want to pass, you can pass. You can always pass, but I think it's just real helpful. So I'm going to start up at the corner, and I'm going to go through the order of you guys on my screen, and then I'll finish up with whoever's not on the screen, and I'll call out your name. So Elizabeth, just a quick check-in, like how is it going and where you're at in the program right now, and what's one success that you want to share? And you're muted. No, I
just unmuted.
Oh, okay, good.
yeah. So I've been doing a lot of things. I haven't had a chance to listen to all of the videos yet because we're actually listing our house tomorrow for sale. So it's been a real busy time, as you can imagine. But I've still been, you know, I know all the titles. So I've been working on drinking my 8 glasses of water and, you know, getting lots of greens and sleeping well. And so once we, probably next week, I can actually get to the point of starting on the elimination diet, because I want to figure out maybe what's causing me some, you know, discomfort sometimes, because I've had GI problems and just still getting kind of back squared away. But one success was back in November, I started seeing a new functional medicine doctor, and he's a great guy. And my A1C was 5.7 at the time. So, you know, it's getting up there. And I noticed my fasting glucose was also getting up over 100. Ooh. So he suggested, you know, dropping off grains. And so I did that. Well, in like two or three months, it dropped to 5.4. And then I just saw him on Monday, and now it's 5.1. So,
wow, good for you. Yay.
Yeah, so in just a short amount of time, and my, insulin went from, first it was at 6, the second time it was at 3, and this time it was still at 3. So,
it works, right? And you have a good doctor who's willing to do those tests, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a functional medicine, integrative medicine doctor. So he's, you know, he's does all these things. So when I, you know, got my, he's actually has a concierge program. So when I first went to him for the full physical, you know, he did all the different lab tests you talk about. So, you know, I don't have to ask him or explain anything, nice. You know, working with me and working with me on hormones and things like that. So
awesome.
So, and then I told him about this class that I'm doing with you all that, you know, and he thought that was great, you know, 9 months of getting educated. And I told him about the different modules and he thought that was wonderful. So, yeah.
Super. Nice to have support and not to have that support. So that's a success in and of itself. So
congratulations.
Right, yeah. Yay. And good luck with the house. Because I know what the castle that is. Yeah. Diana. Unmute.
I got it. I was just checking the weather forecast. As our success is, we survived last night.
Oh, you didn't get the snow? You didn't get the blizzard?
Oh, we got all of that. But last night it went down into the teens. And so everything in the garden was wiped out all over town. I was checking to make sure we were done. It's only supposed to go down to 32 tonight.
Well, good. I hope you didn't lose everything.
Well, we actually, I've been a little behind, so that was one of the blessings in disguise. Although I was trying getting planting done outside, it was a blessing because I would have lost it all last night.
Oh, my gosh. And May. It's May, guys. It's May. It's May. Let's go with the program here. It's May. It's spring.
Yeah, one of the nice things about living in paradise is that it can freeze any month of the year. And does.
We've seen
a month early in August, so it's not that unusual, but it is a little bit late. It's some of the neighbors had like 16 and another one had 11. And the apricots are toast, no apricots this year. And there's a question mark on the cherries.
Oh, no.
They were not in flower yet, but they were in very early buds. So at 11 and 16 degrees, that's enough to freeze them.
That's enough to freeze them. Well, good luck with that.
We'll see how it goes. But everything we have in the hoop house and the greenhouse did survive. Once again, the greens are still hanging in there.
The greens hang in there. They can survive that. That's why they're so hardy in our bodies, right? They are this such a hardy food, and they provide so much nutrition and strength, right? Right. They're strong, right? Yeah. And yeah, we love the delicate stuff like cherries. That's my weakness. But we need the hardiness, right? We need that balance. It's all about balance. So thank you.
Thank you.
Robin. You're I'm not hearing you, even though you're unmuted. So you might have a mute on your mic.
I don't think so.
Oh, wait, now I hear you. It's very, very low. Yeah. See if...
Can you hear me?
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Hey.
I did a sound check before and everything was okay. So, I mean, basically, like right now, and I had a post on the Facebook page the other day, I'm like having some digestive issues trying to figure that all out. So back to the elimination diet I go.
You know, here's what happens. We do an
elimination, and then all of a sudden,
get a little bit complacent. You okay? And then I'll add this, and then I'll add that, and then suddenly, I hear you. Been there, done that.
So I'm back to
back to the elimination, and then go slowly on anything that you suspect.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. Basically, it's just been nothing really, to speak of as far as successes are concerned. But,
find one thing.
Honestly, it's just a success when I can get up in the morning and I can get through the day and do everything that I need to do, honestly, because I'm thinking, how do I keep up? Because, I work a full-time job and I have, my health coaching on the side. So
I
do everything that I need to do for me is challenging, I have to say. I try to do 100%, give myself 100%, but it doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Yeah. So when that comes up for you, right, that you don't feel like you're giving yourself 100%, what does that feel like? Where do you feel that?
I just sort of get a little disappointed, but it just creates a lot of stress.
Yeah. So you're trying to be more perfect than you're able to be.
Well, I don't know if I'd say perfect, but
expectation.
I have to get 8 hours of sleep. I have to drink all my water. I have to, pay attention to everything that I'm eating. I have to, manage my stress better. I have to deal with an 8-hour a day job and side job.
I'm going to stop you there because there's a word that you keep using.
And that is, I have to,
right? So I would encourage you all, when you hear yourself saying the word have to just replace it with get to. I get to have this really busy life and I get to work 8 hours a day and I get to sleep 8 hours a day and I get to. And it changes the psychology and the physiology how I feel. So go ahead and say that again to me, but say it with the word I get to.
Okay, so I get to sleep 8 hours a day, drink all my, water. I get to work 8 hours at a job that I enjoy. And, I get to, focus on eating well and taking care of my digestion.
Yay. How did it feel? You looked different as you spoke it.
Yeah, it felt like there was less stress, honestly, in the
right.
world.
And so you were just contributing to your health.
Right.
By shifting the way you language things.
Yeah, that's great. I have to keep on doing that.
Just keep on doing whatever you hear yourself doing, I have to, change it to I get to. Whenever you hear yourself say I should have, change it to I could have. Because should have is like, right? But could have, oh, I could have done that better. I could have done it this way. You feel like, oh, I could have done this. And the next time, that's what I'm going to do. So it's more optimistic. And it shifts the whole way your body works with the energy of that. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sinbart.
Hi.
Hi.
First question, how do I change? That's my first and last name put together. My name is Cindy. How do I change that?
When you, you know what?
On your picture, yeah, on your picture, if you take your cursor and see where there's three little dots.
Oh, those three little dots, yeah. Rename. There you go. Yay, Lynn! Woohoo! Lynn to the rescue.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That's my
there it is. Now it says Cindy.
That's my accomplishment for today.
Yay!
So now I'll get to change your names. This is your chance.
Yeah, now you can change it. What do you want? Marianne, yours is all mushed together. You can change it. Put that space in there wherever you want. Right?
Princess okay. Rainbow Unicorn. I don't know.
Princess Rainbow Unicorn. There you go. Okay, Cindy, you're up.
So I've completed module one. But
wait,
as I look through the modules, I see that I'm doing all of them kind of at the same time. I'm working on a lot of the things. I just haven't checked them all off. My success is that I joined the Y and I get to go. And, this is the second day. My plan is Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days. And I do walk with a neighbor twice a week.
Nice.
So, that's really, I don't see any reason why I can't continue that. And I did the elliptical for 45 minutes today.
Wow.
So, and that was not that hard. So I feel like that's pretty doable. So I'm very excited about that. And that's it.
That's awesome.
I mean, I have a lot of questions and a lot of things that I'm trying to figure out, but.
We'll come back around and I just want to give go around and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Okay. So, Marianne, I just shut you on. You did change your name. There you go. Yay. A new accomplishment. Thank you, Lynn. We all get to change your name. But don't confuse me and put a different name because I'm trying to learn these names. Yes, Marianne.
I don't know what to say. I haven't looked at my modules recently. My big accomplishment is I finally got my blood test started.
Good.
Had a blood draw yesterday, so we'll see what the results are.
Okay.
And I'm getting my doctor to prescribe the, what do you call that one?
This thing?
Freestyle.
Yay.
Yeah. So you still recommend that one too?
I love it.
Yeah, because I know I'm not going to be pricking my finger that many times.
Yeah, it's really good. You just have to remember, I have mine downstairs, so now I have to remember to check it. I used to be fanatical and I'd check it every 10 minutes, but you know, I just forget. But it really helps me when I'm measuring like that to not cheat. Now, not that I cheat on eating chocolate candy or whatever, but not cheat on eating between meals. Oh, well, I'm still hungry. I could just have something. Instead of going, no, you wait until your sugar goes down. And then if you're hungry and your sugar is at a baseline, then you can eat again. And it helps me with, oh, wait, it's 9 o'clock tonight. I'm still hungry. Oh, what's your sugar at? It's still 90. You can't eat yet. It's still 90, right? If you was like 20 and you're hungry at bedtime, well, maybe you can eat, you know? So it really does help with the discipline a lot.
Yeah, I'm anxious to get it because, I've been at trying to lose weight and get my blood sugar down for many years now. And everything I've tried, nothing really sticks. So I'm real anxious to get through this program. So far, I have lost 7 pounds.
Good. There's a celebrate.
Yeah. So so I'm very anxious to continue on.
Okay, I'm going to change your wording now. Anxious.
Yes, you're right.
Excited.
Yes.
Right? If you hear yourself say, I'm anxious too, say, I'm excited too. And even if you say those two words, the feeling you get in your body is very different. So yeah. You're excited too.
I'm excited to continue on and learn more. And making some of the recipes, and I'm drinking my water, and I'm doing a little exercise. I'm a senior citizen, so I'm not as able to exercise as
How old are you, Marianne? What is a senior citizen to you?
I'm 81.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Awesome. And you're able to exercise beautifully for your situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're able to just do what your body is allowing it to do and what you entitle it to do. And if you truly wanted to, and you really set up the time and spent 4 hours a day exercising and doing it, you could be a bodybuilder. You could be a gymnast, but you choose to do other things with your time.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's this lady, Ernestine, that I show pictures of, right? And she started exercising when she was in her 50s because her sister had died of cancer and she didn't want to follow. And she just started taking care of herself then. And now she's in her 80s and she literally does work out for 4 hours. She gets up at 4 a.m. and she works out, pumps the iron, and walks. Most of us, you know, but if we truly wanted that, and wanted to make the sacrifice, we could, and we can't blame it on age, right? But it's not a priority, right? It's not a priority for you to do that. But it is a priority for you to get healthy, get your blood sugar under control, lose some weight to take some stress off your heart and your joints and all those other things.
And my knees.
And your knees, right? So when we get to the blood sugar module, when you get to the blood sugar module, we're doing that, you know, as a separate group. And I invited anybody that wanted to join us for that to do that. Oh, you are. You are. Okay, great. Yeah, so you'll get a head start on that blood sugar piece, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yay. And when you have your freestyle and you get your numbers and you can control and go, wait a minute, this is a green food. Why is it causing my blood sugar to go up to 150? Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I'm not going to be able to tell you why. It's your genes. It's something in your chemistry right now, but you got some answers to just leave it out. Right. Yes,
that's what I like about it. You get concrete answers.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. When I saw my blood sugar go up to 165 on pineapple, I just about like, pineapple's a good food. What's wrong? Why? You know? So it was an imbalance for other reasons and we get there. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Donna, you there? Should I come back? Hey.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
So I have energy today, and so I'm really doing a lot of stuff. So if I stop, that's going to be it for the day.
So, good for you. So, yay.
I've been feeling better. My toes, I think I broke it, so it's a little bit sore.
A little bit sore and broken. That's a good attitude.
Well, nothing you can do about it, right?
That's right. Poor attitude.
I ate sauerkraut and I love it. So the very first day I finally, you know, I was afraid to eat it. So I finally, I was eating the pickles. I was doing good. And so the very, you know, cause I remember like, many people telling me, you know, once you start eating the sauerkraut, you have to take it slow. So I had one bite and that was the first day. And then after that, it's like,
Well, I'm glad you found a food that you like that's good for you.
Yeah.
Yay. Good for you.
And for today you. I took all of the rest of my candy and I put it in one of those locking containers for 10 days. So by 10 days is up when, then I won't want it anymore.
Then you won't want it anymore. Then you can set it for 365 days.
No, then I can throw it away.
Then you can throw it away. Good. Good for you. Good for you. Yay, Donna. Congratulations. And Carol, you look like
I went for a bike ride twice, you know, on the days that we actually had warm weather.
Yay. Yeah, you had a snowstorm the other day, I heard.
Yeah. Every other weekend is a snowstorm.
Well, good. This is great. I'm so excited for you. So, yeah, so if you're going to be moving around, no big deal. Just do what you have to do and keep going. Yeah. Take advantage.
All right, thank you.
Great. Thank you. Carol, are you on a treadmill or something? Yeah? Whoops. Let's unmute you. Oops. Ah, it won't let me unmute you. Try yourself. There we go. Oh, I don't hear your voice. I heard it.
Yeah. Do you have a different microphone to choose from?
I hear like a mouse squeaking. All right. Keep working on that and I'll come back around. I may mute you as well. Kathleen.
Okay. So can you hear me okay?
I can. Hi.
Okay, good. Good. So actually, this is kind of interesting. 6 days ago, I actually had a surgery that I have actually been fighting with for more than a year to get a diagnosis and compliance with medical insurance. It's such an unusual condition. Basically, my celiac artery was compressed and it was cutting off the blood flow to my adrenals.
Oh, no.
Every doctor that I talked to, I said, couldn't this truly be affecting my blood sugar? I said, I have this feeling. I mean, it didn't matter whether I was fasting, and I mean fasting for a week. When I woke up in the morning, my blood sugar was 170, 180. Not kidding.
Oh.
And I even if I was down during the daytime at night, I would always wake up with that. And I said, couldn't that somehow affect it? Oh, no, we don't think so. Mm-mm, no, it didn't matter who I talked to, including my endocrinologist. Now, I had and I have had three surgeries in the last year and five in the last six. And let me just tell you, after every surgery, my blood sugar is extremely, extremely high.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing. After this one, it was not. And I was, the surgery took a long time. It took 4 hours, even though it was done robotically. I was under the anesthesia forever, and I had a horrible reaction to the anesthesia. Mm-hmm. The surgery worked really well. Here's the interesting thing, though. In the last 4 days, when I take my blood sugar in the morning, it is now in, like, the 130s. And I just have this feeling that that had to contribute to it. And if I can, you know, really just get back into the mode and incorporate other things, I feel certain I can get it down to where it should be.
Yay. Woohoo! So, that's a big success.
Hey, believe I know when people would see that, they would be shocked. And believe me, if I see, you know, 130, I'm going, man, this is fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, and especially since after surgery, it is a stress on the body. You expect
it really is.
So,
I mean, when I had my hip replaced, when I was in the hospital, and I was moving because I had to be up moving because of the hip, even the first day. I wouldn't eat. They would take my blood sugar. It would be almost 300. Unbelievable. I thought, man, this just cannot be right.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear. I bet that that makes sense, especially since the fact that it's in the morning. You know, when you wake up and you are laying.
Yeah.
Circulation is, yeah, impaired to begin with. Congratulations. I think that's awesome. And I will tell you that for about 2 or 3 days after my surgery on my arm, it was a minor surgery compared to what you've had.
Yeah.
It was a 2-hour surgery. My blood sugar was 130. And it's normally, I wake up, it's 80 or 75 or 65, right? And it was high for several days and then it started coming back down to normal, right? So it could be that you're still in that you know, you're in the high after the surgery, and it's actually going to keep coming down. So, yay.
Maybe. I just find it amazing that none of the people in the medical community would even think that was a possibility. Especially,
I just did a really quick search, and there's two or three studies showing the relationship. So, and I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, and neither are you, Kathleen, but you figured it out. So there's something wrong with the medical education.
We can really be intuitively in sync with our body and know when something, you know, isn't working and what might work.
Absolutely.
And had I not really forced, I mean, a number of physicians starting more than a year ago to find this, it would not have happened. And it's so rare. Mm-hmm. The hospital even have a billing code for it. It's so rare.
God.
I know. Anyway.
Well, good for you. I'm just seeing that it just keeps coming down and stabilizing. You're going to put the activities into place to make sure of that. Right. Cool. Yay.
Thank you.
So, Carol, what do you think? Let's try. Unmute. There you go. No. It's still just squeak. Every time you move your mouth, we hear. Interesting. That happened to Isabel once. Remember, she used to come on our calls, and she said it was a mic thing. She had to switch.
Yeah. I was actually on her call on Monday. A liver cleanse, and it started out that way, and she said, oh, I had to switch my microphone. So look at your little upward facing arrow next to your microphone and see if you can choose a different source. But
yeah, and if you have an external mic, I mean, if you're using the mic on the computer, then it might be good to stick a mic into the jack. And if you are using a mic in the jack, pull it out and try using just the computer. And if you look at the mic next to it, there's an arrow.
Try it again.
I don't hear the squeak.
Okay, same as
this. Yay! She's there.
Do you hear anything?
We just hear you speaking, a normal voice, not a mouse voice.
Okay, so I don't know.
Okay. Stay close.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I just started on the second module.
Okay,
and did all those assessments and things. And, pardon me?
The digestion.
Yes, because I've been working at the blood sugar for, it'll be 2 years this coming July. So that's a big deal. And my husband's talking about having me get that freestyle monitor because it would be just a better choice when I really work at it. Again, because I'm constantly pricking my fingers. Something happened I'm planning to get a bunch of labs done because I got a physical coming up and I'll be asking my doctor if I can do them beforehand. Last week I had a friend come up and say to me that I looked awfully yellow. And then she said it in front of someone else who said, yeah, I noticed that too. But I was afraid to say anything. So, and I feel fine. In fact, I feel really great. I'm waking up in the morning, excited to start the day, and I've got energy, and I don't know why I'm yellow.
Well, just have it checked, and it could be that you're eating so much good beta-carotene food that this is your normal color coming through. I will tell you, for me, I used to be very pale, and I started to change my diet and back in, the 80s, and I was, I was drinking carrot juice at the time. But I thought, carrot juice, maybe that's, but my palms are, you can't tell, but I have a nice tan looking glow to my body, whether I'm in the sun or not. And so it could be that you have started to eat more of these high beta carotene foods. And if you have a genetic SNP called BCM01, your body doesn't have the ability to convert at a highly effective rate from beta carotene to vitamin A. So it could be that you're just having the buildup. Now, the good news is beta carotene is a very strong antioxidant. There are some tests that they do. They measure, like they do this stuff and they measure the level of beta carotene in your skin. And every time I've gotten it done, they're like, wow, you're the highest person I've ever seen. Well, I have that SNP. So I believe that I probably eat enough beta-carotene foods that even the smaller percentage that I convert is going to give me enough vitamin A. But every now and then, I just squirt some vitamin A drops in a glass of water, and I take it. And I would say literally maybe once every couple of months. At first, when I found out about this, I was doing it once a week and then once a month. So it could be that, as simple as that. I mean, you could get the genetic test done, and that will show if you have that particular SNP, but it could be beta carotene. So yes, you want them to check your bilirubin, right? The whites of the eyes are really the thing to look at if it's a jaundice type of thing. So if you look at the whites of your eyes and they're very yellow too, then no. So it's just, again, likely it's beta carotene, which is a good thing. But you may have that.
And I'm just not.
Take vitamin A periodically. And if you don't get the genetic testing done, just get a liquid vitamin A.
I have 23andMe done.
Oh, you have had it done. Look on your 20.
So it's like
for 20 BCM01. Mm-hmm. There's a really good, if anybody has had 23andMe done, go to geneticdetoxification.com and then pay them $30 and run your raw data through that. And it organizes it in such a beautiful way that you can tell, oh, these are vitamin A related SNPs. These are zinc related SNPs. These are B9 related SNPs. These are B12 related SNPs. These are glutathione related SNPs. This is cardiovascular. And it lays it out in the best way. It doesn't have explanations, but there's a book that you can buy on Amazon. And it's called Genetic Testing, Defining Your Path to a Personalized Health Plan. And in the report that they give you when you put your 23andMe in, next to each of those SNPs, it will say what page in the book describes it. So it's a really good, empowering, self-care type of thing. You know, it's complicated to read these genetic things. I've been doing this for like 10 years. I love this book, and I love that report. Right? So it's just where, if you have already done the 23andMe, spend the extra money to get that done. They have this book on a Kindle. I bought the Kindle and then I thought I want to have the printout version too. So I got the printed version.
So yeah. You're suggesting a possibility that I'm not synthesizing that vitamin A and it's just going to my skin or?
No, that you're, yeah. So there's beta carotene that you eat. And then the active form in the body is, mm-hmm. you know, and beta carotene has active roles, but the A, vitamin A roles, you have to get from preformed vitamin A or convert it. What I'm thinking is that you're maybe inefficient at converting it. And so you're eating a lot of beta carotene rich foods. And so it's building up in your skin and it doesn't do anything but give you a healthy glow. But yeah, you have to check it out and have them check your bilirubin. And the fact that you don't have mm-hmm. it in your eyes says to me it's probably not. And the fact that you feel so good.
Yeah. I mean, if I felt sick, I would sit there, yeah.
You're right.
Problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know my grandmother one time drank way too much carrot juice and turned orange.
Yeah.
That's the story that was told. So, yeah. But I don't seem to have that. I mean, I use like red and orange peppers and carrots.
Green.
And I've got a supplement for my eyes that probably
has beta carotene in it. But green vegetables.
What else is carotene?
So it doesn't, not just carrots and we think it's just the red stuff. All your green leafy vegetables, there's tons of beta carotene in there.
Well, that would explain it.
Yeah.
I eat tons of that. So.
You just, yeah, exactly.
And I have. And I noticed I'm getting yellower over time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would check that out, you know, and right.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
So we're just going around and everybody's sharing, you know, like one success thing, which we were supposed to be keeping it short so we can get through everybody and then do whatever concerns you have. But I just wanted to hear some, you know, something, what you're working on, like where in the program you're working and then what's a success?
Well, I got as far as on module one, the elimination.
Mm-hmm.
And I
left it at that. I haven't worked on that. I've gone over to working on blood sugars because mm-hmm. I know that they were a problem for me. I was, monitoring my blood sugars, but also if I ate anything that, you know, like even a little tiny square of chocolate, I would just feel this sugar rush.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt I needed to concentrate on that more.
That's good. You will do as part of the blood sugar, there's the elimination, like eliminate at least the top gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts. Do that for the duration of the 30-day metabolic reset. And then any other foods that you suspect, if you have joint pains, also include nightshades in there because sometimes, and then you just have that sort of a mini elimination diet.
Yeah. I've already eliminated the grains. Good. And what else was there? Oh, dairy.
Yep.
I haven't eliminated eggs.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So with things that you haven't eliminated that you haven't had any suspicion of, the reason eggs show up in that list is because the top, when you look at any of the research that's been done, the top six allergens are gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts, right? And yeah, so
I've done the corn and peanuts as well.
Yeah. So play with the eggs. Some people like crave eggs because they need the lecithin, and you can actually get lecithin through sunflower seeds. So I would say for that, just try it during the metabolic reset phase of the blood sugar balancing and see how you feel. And then you can introduce it back, but make sure that you're doing the little chickies that run around in the grass and they eat real food. They don't eat the crappy pellet things that they feed them.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because homegrown eggs are very different than what you buy in the store.
I find I'm very, very tired in the afternoon. You know, I just, it's like I hit the wall. I just can't function. So I have a lay down period and I don't necessarily sleep,
mm-hmm.
but I just have to have that time where I read or meditation or something, but I have to be prone.
Not a bad idea, actually. Like most of us keep going. In a lot of countries, that's the siesta time,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you feel refreshed after that, great. But there may be some blood sugar issues as you start to test and see if there's some swings and some dips in the late afternoon or some high levels in the afternoon. And as you go through it, you'll figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Yay. Thank you. So who haven't we heard from? Let's see. Denise.
Yeah, Denise has her hand up.
Yeah, let me unmute her. Yeah, and if you're on the phone and you can talk, put your hand up and I'll open you up.
I just unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, Denise.
Hey. Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. Okay, my success, there are two real quick I can tell you. One is I'm so glad you included the fun part because that's a real weak area for me. And I've been saying for years that I needed to have more fun, but I think the accountability that, you know, is incorporated in this program is helping me. And so this week I have two fun activities planned. And so that's my success.
Yay. What are you going to do? Tell us what you're going to do.
I'm going to a softball game for two little girls. They're in my church and I'm going to that tomorrow night with friends. And then I also bought some herbs and flowers to plant. So,
nice.
Yes. One real quick thing I want to say, because it might help other people to know this. I have been burping a lot for weeks and that was not part of my history. And, I couldn't figure out what was going on, except I've been using Swedish bitters before every meal for a couple of months. I thought maybe it's about that. I went to my chiropractor, a new chiropractor on Monday, and he said, your stomach is pushed up into your diaphragm.
Mm.
And so he manipulated it. And I have not had the burping since then. So yeah. I'm thinking that must be what that was about.
Very easily could be. That's called a hiatal hernia. It's when the stomach slips up through the diaphragm.
Right.
And of course, like, you know, things are starting to go down, but the stomach is not where it's supposed to be and it's being constricted at the top. So yeah, that's great. Yay, you solved it.
That was very encouraging. I had sent some Facebook questions to you and you said you wanted to ask me about that. I don't know if you want to do that later.
Yes, let's come around again. But remind me what the questions were so that my brain is good.
I've got kind of discouraged about the, I'm at the elimination diet part, and because there are very few foods that I can seem to.
That you have very few foods right now that you can eat. So yeah, let's talk about that. Let's help. And that'll help other people who are having similar problems to see the thought process as you go through that.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you. Yay. I'm glad about your burping.
Yeah.
David.
Am I unmuted?
You are unmuted. Yay. Hi.
Glad to be with the program. It's already been helpful. I've managed to smooth out the sleepy times during the afternoons.
Oh, nice.
That's been going on for years and years. I cut down on grains, cut down on fruit with my morning meal. I finally broke out the blender and started juicing. My wife can't have quite as many greens in hers as mine, so I end up making two.
I know a lot of people who do that. I know a lot of people who do that. Yeah.
So making good progress.
Good.
Very happy. I'm not making progress in the formal program, but all the calls and information is coming my way, and I'm able to act on things that I've been ready to act on but haven't for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lab tests going back 10 years because of my thyroid condition and with functional doctor for 7. So I just redid a big pile, 12 vials. So I have a good baseline for the start of this program.
Awesome. Awesome. So do you need any guidance as far as like what they mean and interpreting, or are you good on that right now?
I'll see my doctor to see what I can get for that and then see what questions I have remaining. She's been pretty good setting down with me for an hour after these tests. I've done the ion test 3 times, 2 years apart. And this year it looks like I'm going to switch to the OAT test instead.
Mm-hmm. They're different tests, right? The ion is testing actual amounts. The OAT is testing metabolic pathways to see where your blocks are. I like the OAT.
Yeah. I kind of jumped around on the ion. There wasn't any one thing that just remained constant in the extreme quintiles for all 3 times.
Mm.
So I don't see any real benefit to just doing it again. Do something else and see if I can get some other information.
If you can get some additional information. Good for you.
I've done the saliva adrenal test a couple times in the past. I'm going to try the Dutch test instead.
Yeah, I was going to say the Dutch test.
Yes. I didn't know about that before this program.
So good. Yeah, the Dutch test is a great one. Good.
And I'll have all these good results and the improvements to my eating and the more productive time in the afternoons. I'm really happy.
Yay. Thank you for sharing, David. Awesome. Right. Who else? Denise, I talked to, right, so I can lower her hand. I would say if you're wanting to talk, go ahead and raise your hand. And if you're not, I don't want to put you on the spot because you might be muted from your mic, from your camera because of work. So what we're doing right now for anybody who came on a little bit late, we were just going around and anybody wanted to share anything, a positive, like a success, where you are in the program and a success that you can share. And if there's no other hands going up,
Frederica said she's at work and just listening.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Some people might be at work, so I don't want to put you on the spot and have you to, say something and you shouldn't be saying at work. okay, so let's just go through then. And who has some issues, concerns? I know we just talked to, where'd she go? Oh, you weren't on the line. It was Denise,
her,
right?
Denise, yeah. Her camera's not open. And I didn't know if you wanted to make me a co-host.
Oh, of course. I used to just do that automatically. It's doing weird stuff lately. Make a co-host. There you go. Okay, good. So, so Denise, let's talk about the elimination diet because I think this could help a lot of folks who might be struggling.
Okay. What is she saying about my camera not open? Is that where it has a mark over the...
not seeing it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just request camera. Let's see if it says it. Ask to start video, and it'll say you click it.
Oh, okay.
And you'll start it.
Which says start video?
Yeah.
Video. Okay. Is that it?
There you go. Yeah. Hey, we got you.
Good. Good.
All right. So I'm going to grab.
Lynn is helping me with all this technology.
The technology. That's it. I told Lynn I'm going to do two separate programs, one for technology geeks and one for everybody else because I'm a technology geek.
So. But it's also, it's encouraging people like me to learn, you know, so that's a good thing.
That's good. Yay. Yeah. All right. So Denise, let me refresh. This is what I remember from the Facebook thing. You were trying to do the elimination diet, but you were already down to very few foods that you could eat. But then when you started to describe things you're eating every day, I'm like, you can't be eating all of that every day. Right. So first of all, are you underweight, overweight?
I think I'm underweight. I'm like 5'5" and 100 and, well, I have been about 110, but now I'm like 106.
Okay.
And so I think I look pretty thin and I have a hard time putting on muscle. I'll be 70 in a month, and I've been diagnosed with advanced osteoporosis. So trying to put on muscle, you know, is really important. I've been doing some weight training and so anyway, but I've been eating. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, somebody's echoing. So Lynn, will you look to see if anybody's, and just mute them. Okay, so Denise, what I want to know is, like, do you typically eat breakfast?
I eat three meals a day. I try to finish. I try to start eating my supper at 5:30 or 6. I don't always get it done by then, but I just stick with three meals. I don't eat in between.
Beautiful.
I only drink water. I have been vegan for the most part since 2009. For a while, I was able to eat a couple of bites of fish, occasionally maybe eat an egg, but I can't even digest those anymore.
Okay. So what happens on this when you say you can't digest it? What happens to you?
It sits in my gut. I think I probably don't make HCL.
So it sits in your gut and you feel bloated, distended.
Full. Right. So I haven't had anything like that. I haven't had fish in over a year now.
Okay. So there are other foods you've identified also that do that, right?
A big problem for me is any foods with sugar. I mean, I think just about every food has some sugar in it, but even say like a sweet potato or like root vegetables, or I'll wake up the next morning with pain in one of my fingers. And sometimes when I would eat foods like that, not so much lately, but if I was under a lot of stress and eating say root vegetables or squashes, even I would have what I thought was psoriasis, but somebody told me it wasn't psoriasis, where I would break out in this burning, itchy rash on both arms or on both legs, and it would take months for it to go away.
Wow.
And so I don't know if it was psoriasis, but it's anyway, I have a lot of skin issues.
So you've had, is that something that's been ongoing your whole life? And you said you're 71?
I'll be 70 in June.
70. Okay. Is that something you've had since you were a kid, or did that develop at some point?
No, that has been more in recent years. But I took care of my husband. He was sick for 12 years, and he died 2 years ago. He's bedridden the last 2 years, didn't have any family support. We were fairly new in the city. So it was a very isolating, very difficult time. And so I think that's – I know that's when I lost the bone.
Okay. And then the digestive issues with the foods, when did that start? Whoops, she froze. Is it just me or did she freeze?
Yeah, she's frozen for me as well.
Okay, maybe it'll clear. So I'm guessing she has some digestive stuff, that it's not specific foods, right? So I want, for you guys to hear it, if you've got this long list of foods that you're sensitive to, it's not the food's fault. It's that your body can't process it. And so, we may need to eliminate a lot of those foods, especially the worst of the worst, for a while you're healing. But it's really important to then heal the gut. Super important to heal the gut. And she mentioned a bit digestive acid, stomach acid, super important. A lot of people don't make it. It naturally wanes as we age, but it's also dependent on zinc. and zinc is a hard mineral to absorb and requires the stomach acid to be absorbed. And it's required to make stomach acid. So you have this catch 22, right? If you don't have enough zinc, you can't make enough stomach acid. You don't have enough stomach acid, you can't make enough zinc. Zinc's also a cofactor for other parts of the digestive tract, like the enzymes. So sometimes we just step backwards. And for everybody, one of the first things we do when we get into the digestive module is we work on chewing the food, because that's what a lot of us don't do. We don't chew it and we get all this stuff going down there, and that aggravates and that can hurt the cells that make the stomach acid. But then we also look at helping our body to make more. So for all of you, this is all in the digestive module. I'm going to give you guys a few steps, and we're going to let Denise know to listen to this part. I'll just give her a summary when she comes back, but to listen to this part, because I think it's critical for all of us, is to look at the concept of taking bitters with your meal. Bitters are, it could be just a really bitter smoothie. It could be just before your meal, you take a few leaves of arugula or dandelion or some kind of bitter green and you chew it, but you don't just chew it and then swallow. You chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it. Let it stay in your mouth for like 5 minutes so that the juices from it are going under your tongue and stimulating the reflex that goes back and opens up the production of the bitters, of the stomach acid. But also you're going to take zinc in ideally a liquid ionic form that can get absorbed real easily as well. Now, the other options, you don't have to take bitters that way. You can take bitters as a tincture. There are a lot of good companies that make bitters as a tincture, and you can do it that way. You can juice. She makes her tinctures. She makes her own. Diana makes her own. She's the Amazon woman that goes out and picks stuff from her garden and makes it into bitters and whatever else. Yeah. And you take that before a meal. Now, it's probably not a great idea to take it without a meal because it's going to stimulate those juices to go, right? And then there's nothing there to digest it. But that's a great way to get our digestion jump started. Bitters and zinc, liquid zinc. Now, when you go into the digestive module, yeah, one sec. When you get into that digestive module, you're going to see that there's some assessments right at the beginning to see what nutrients you might be showing signs of deficiency in. So I highly recommend, even if you haven't finished module one and you've gotten up and you haven't done the whole elimination diet, you can just move on and just start with the digestion because that's going to help everything to get better. And especially if you already know that there's a lot of foods you don't tolerate, then I would say, you know, let's start working on the gut and the gut working better. And it starts with that upper GI. So Lynn, what'd you have to say?
Well, and one other thing that came to my mind, especially when she said it was a somewhat recent thing, was stress.
Right. And she said being a caretaker for 12 years.
Exactly.
For her dying husband. That's the most extreme stress you can imagine. Yeah.
And you go over the things to do, you know, how to be in a stress-free practice, the heart math before you eat. And that can, again, like we were saying, with the stomach acid and the zinc and any of our nutrients be a part.
So I would say if you just go into the gut program, module two, and just do the first part of it. That first part goes into the pre-meal ritual. It goes into the bitters, the enzymes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So it looks like she's not, did you see her come back in? Maybe she needs to know. Denise, she's on her phone. Denise, if you are on your phone, if that's the same Denise, I'm not sure if it's the same Denise, it is, then go ahead and unmute your phone. We won't be able to see you, but that's okay. Oh, wait, Denise. That's to start video. Okay, I'll try it again. Right. We'll give her some time. Does that make sense? So I think this is a real critical piece for everybody. At the end, the very last part of module one is digestion enhancing eating strategies. So before you move on to the second module, go ahead and go through that and just start incorporating those. We incorporate that handout is in the blood sugar you know, it's all over because it's so important for all of our hormones and all of our body systems. Okay. So that digestion enhancing eating strategy, and then looking at the bitters and the zinc to start, and then moving from there. So that's where I would start with her, but she's probably got to heal. If you've got a lot of food sensitivities, you probably have a leaky gut. And the leaky gut is the little spaces between the cells in the gut are supposed to be small enough, tight enough. They call them tight junctions. And it's small enough that just those fully digested foods that are already vitamins or minerals or amino acids or fatty acids can fit through. But as we eat on the run, eat under stress when there's cortisol levels, and we eat foods that may not be great for us, there's Denise, then we end up with problems where the gut gets permeable and some larger particles come in. And then it compounds with if we have low stomach acid, not producing enough enzymes, not breaking down the food. So now the food isn't tiny little particles when it gets down there. It's bigger pieces. Those get into the bloodstream and they can cause food allergic, you know, systemic kind of symptoms. But just the fact that they're in there and they're aggravating that lining can create a lot of other issues. So we kept going. Denise, and I'm going to summarize what we've talked about. I have a feeling it's not a matter of what foods are bothering you. It's a matter of digestive health.
I know that I have leaky gut.
Mm-hmm. Have you done anything about it?
Yeah. I've gone to a couple of different doctors to try to help me, but I've taken supplements and I started doing the grand program and also started the sweet spot solutions, and I've done reading, and I don't even know how to tell you what all I've tried.
Yeah, so you've done a lot and
had
a lot of this stress going on.
Right. And I've stopped processed foods. I mean, I only eat
real food.
Vegetables, and I can only eat one fruit. And
so what can you, so you have a group of vegetables that you can eat.
Right.
You can't do raw. You do it cooked, right?
Well, I was eating a good bit of raw, but I've been trying just blending my greens and then heating them a little bit. And, I don't know if it makes any difference or not, but, and I only drink water and,
so you've done a lot of cleanup here.
Right, right. And I omit foods that seem to be problematic, and that's why my list has just been shrinking. But the thing I started saying, the sugar seems to be a big issue for me, and that's why I did Sweet Spot, but I was having a hard time with the sticking my finger. It was hard to get enough blood, and when I could, the blood, it didn't seem to show up on the monitor. I could very rarely get a reading.
Okay.
And so I just gave up on that.
You can still go through it. You can still do the metabolic reset. You can still do it without the pricking your finger. You've already cleaned up a lot anyway.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And you already know that the sugars aren't working, so you're going to do a 30-day metabolic reset without them. But have you done like the bitters and the...
I do bitters before every meal.
Zinc?
Well, I was taking a supplement with zinc, but I was having nausea, and I read that can be a symptom of zinc. And when I stopped it, the nausea stopped. So it was 50 milligrams. And I know it said 40 is the most you should have, but I eat pumpkin seeds, I eat beans, and I eat nuts.
Yeah, but if you're not, it's a catch 22, which we were just explaining. Right? If you're not making enough stomach acid, you need the zinc to make the stomach acid. You need the stomach acid to absorb the zinc.
Okay. And right. I don't think I make any stomach acid.
Okay. Have you done an HCL challenge? We talk about that in the beginning part of Grand.
I think I did, but I can't remember now. Was that where you take the charcoal or is that? No,
that's the transit time. But
how to do the zinc. I did try Digestzyme and that burned my stomach.
Okay, so I would be careful about HCL challenge then. It sounds like you have some disruption of the mucous membrane.
Yes.
Right? So it's not that nice, big, thick, cushy.
Right.
Because the enzyme, Digestzyme is an enzyme. And if you don't have that cushy surface, it's going to actually break through and start to digest the wall of your stomach. So it sounds to me like we need to start with that. We need to start with getting that mucous membrane healed.
I'm taking, it's a thorn product. It's PermaClear. And it has like, I think L-glutamine and maybe quercetin. And I can't remember. I think
it's a good thing, but I think it's more geared towards the lower. I'm thinking okay. The upper at this point. Have you done anything with slippery elm or DGL?
I tried slippery elm when I was doing Grand, and I can't remember. I tried it several times, but for some reason I stopped. I don't remember if it was, if I didn't feel well, if it was making my, I can't remember why I stopped it, but I can try it again. And it was the capsule, but seems like I tried it opening it and with a capsule. So,
slippery elm in a capsule, quite frankly, I just think it's a waste.
Okay.
Right? I think what you need to do with slippery elm is you need to take the powder and you need to put water in it and you need to stir it around and create kind of a slimy goo.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, that reminds me, okra. I started taking the okra capsules and it seemed like that was helping my gut.
I could see that because it's a mucilage. You know, that's what we need to do to repair. Have you ever tried DGL?
I don't think so.
A little bit, you know, unless you hate the taste of licorice, but you can get it as a powder. You like licorice. Good. So you can get it as a powder. The ideal would be if you tolerate the slippery elm, we get the powdered version. Mountain Rose Herbs has it. Okay. You just get it in this big 1 pound bag, or Frontier, I think, has it too. But make sure it's the powder, not the particles. I forget what they call it, but they're bigger and they don't break down. I have like a pound of it and I'm like, what am I going to do with this stuff? It doesn't do anything. It just sits in the water. But you can create that and then add the DGL to it.
Oh,
and you get that licorice flavor, so it's pleasant, and it's thick, and it coats, the throat, it coats the esophagus, it coats the stomach, and it just actually provides mucilage for healing.
Okay.
Right? But I would do that before if you're doing your bitters, I would do your bitters at about 15 minutes before.
Right.
Do the DGL slippery elm 10 minutes before, the opposite. About 15 minutes before, do the DGL with the slippery elm. I don't know what I was thinking there. Then at about 5 to 10 minutes, so let that go through so it gives you a coating, and then you can do your bitters.
All right, and then you said do the bitters 5 minutes before I eat?
Yeah, you can do it 5 minutes before, yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm taking CBD oil. My doctor wanted me to try that. Should I still do that or not? I think she was
meals you're taking it, or is that more for a sleep aid?
I think it's more a stress type stuff.
Yeah, you can take that whenever, you know, that's not going to, this is specifically a meal ritual, right? Okay. And then before you start putting food in your mouth, you stop and you do the heart math, the breathing, and you make sure that you keep reminding yourself of that. I know when you're a caretaker, it's hard to have a meal without like, oh, does he have this? Does he need that? What's going on? You know, there's a lot going on there. So now it's time for you to.
I know.
Right? Yeah. And it's hard. You know, you've been through one of the biggest stresses anybody could go through.
Sure.
And so now, you know, no wonder your digestion fell apart. It's very, very common. Have you done any kind of testing? Any other?
I have. I've done blood work. I've done stool testing.
Did find any parasites or anything, or
no parasites? It said no yeast, but then later I found out that stool tests don't necessarily show yeast, because I've wondered about yeast because of the sugar. Because like when even sometimes if I would eat something maybe like a root vegetable, I would even get this foamy. Mm. My saliva would be foamy, and I thought, what's that about? Or my tongue would be white.
Yeah, that does sound like a yeasty issue.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So it could be a yeast thing. It could be a fungal overgrowth, but I would start with, let's just soothe. And then we can, cause everything's going to be a little harsh on you.
Right. I think my LES, I think food comes up. I think I have some backup sometimes through there.
Yeah. And that's where the slippery elm with the DGL, it's going to coat all the way down here. Now, if you have a chiropractor that knows how to adjust it, like who was it that was on earlier that said?
I was talking about.
Oh yeah, you had the chiro who, yeah. So just keep adjusting it. The hiatal hernia, okay. Just keep adjusting it because it can keep going back up and then you just bring it back down.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And there's stuff you can do. There are some YouTube videos that you can do it yourself, but you know, and you can do that in between visits. It's just go, okay, let me see what I can do to bring this back down.
Okay.
Otherwise the stomach acid's going to dump into the esophagus.
Okay.
And that might be why the digestive enzyme hurt. Maybe it wasn't because it was because, and then you had stomach acid slipping into your esophagus and that was irritated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had an endoscopy over a year ago and he said I had gastritis and also esophagitis. And of course he wanted me to take the PPIs and I didn't want to do all that, you know, so I just, I'll sleep sitting up at night, half the night in a recliner and then I'll sleep in my bed and it's on an incline. So
I would do 6 weeks consistently with this DGL slippery elm mixture.
Okay.
And there've been so many studies that pitted DGL against PPIs. Like initially you're going to get much better relief with PPIs, but it's not healing anything.
Right. Right.
Okay. And so give it some time.
How much DGL, how much like with a powder and the DGL just dose wise?
I would say the dose you want to get to would be a teaspoon of each with just about 8 ounces of water. And it doesn't have to be boiling water, but it's best if it's warm.
Warm water.
So it doesn't clump.
Do I need to start with less than that? Or?
But I would, if you're sensitive, right? You don't know how you're going to react to it. Just start with a little pinch of each.
Okay.
You know, and a little bit of water. Or make a batch of it, but just take a little bit and leave the rest in the fridge for your next meal. And that way you can just warm it up for subsequent meals, right? So 1 teaspoon of each, 8 ounces of water.
Okay. Thank you. I'll try that.
Yeah, give it a try and let's see where you go from there. Rather than trying to go, I don't want to eliminate anymore. I wouldn't do the elimination diet. You already do an elimination diet.
Okay, so forget about that. Just eat what I think.
Stay away from the ones you already know. Like stay away from the things you already know bother you. Stay away from the sugars. When you say sugar, I'm like, oh, you don't mean sugar. You mean sweet potatoes. That's not, you know what I mean? Right,
but also I eat a cup of beans every day and a cup of grains just because I have to have something. Same. With some sustenance other than the grain, leafy greens. The beans maybe aggravate a little bit. I feel a little bit sleepy after I eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking maybe.
So you could try taking that away. The grains, it's interesting that the starch, the root vegetables do have more sugar than a grain would. It's, the grain is more of a slow sugar. So it's.
Well, and the grains are only like millet, quinoa, teff, and I think I've tried buckwheat maybe too.
Okay, so all the non-glutens, all the, you know, the best ones. So I would say just from an elimination standpoint, eliminate the beans for a week and just stick with those grains and see how you do. And then eliminate the grains for a week and stick with the beans.
Okay.
If you notice anything, and then add them back, of course. So a week and then add them back and see if you notice a difference.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll try these suggestions. Thanks so
much. Welcome. Sure. Okay. Who else has some challenges we want to discuss or questions? Who said they had a lot of, somebody said we had a lot of, have some questions when we come back.
David.
Okay. Yeah. David, you're on.
Hi. I have a number of things. I flew to London yesterday and about halfway through the flight started getting irritation in the back of the throat and the sinus. And I'm doing what I know to do, which is warm salt water gargle and keep up taking my vitamin C and zinc.
And is it feels like you're catching a cold? Is that what it feels like?
Well, I have a history of this problem going back to my 20s, which was probably my initial imbalance was too much antibiotics as a teen, and then that triggered needing antibiotics for the next 30 years, and then that triggered hypothyroid. At least that's my guess as to my path. Then when I fixed the thyroid, a lot of the symptoms went away, but that didn't fix the root cause. So I'm still considering myself very fragile.
Yeah,
and it's only in the last 2 years I haven't had to take antibiotics. Every time I get
something starting in my sinuses that doesn't travel down to my lungs anymore.
Okay. And is it actually sinus infection versus just like do you feel thick, gooey?
It used to be the thick, gooey, and mucusy. Now it's just inflamed and clear mucus and not much of it. So it's I catch them early. I deal with them. I use the neti pot, but I don't have that with me.
Okay, so I don't know. You're in London. So London's a big city, and there's a big Whole Foods and there's other places.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a lot of stuff there. So I would get yourself a neti pot, you know.
Okay.
You have one already. Can keep one for travel and one for home. That's what I do. I have one that I just keep on the counter and one is in my suitcase all the time. So I always have it with me. I would say, do you increase your vitamin C when you feel this or just warm gargle?
I take a gram morning and evening and I have taken up to 6 grams a day before. So I could boost that.
Yeah. And I would say when you first feel that tickle coming on, that's when you want to up that. If you want to make sure you don't get too much GI stuff, have some liposomal that you just use for emergencies like that, right? For when it's important, right? Because it's expensive to do liposomal on a regular basis. But heck, if I have to spend $12 a day to keep myself from getting a cold when I'm traveling, yeah. I'm going to do it, right? So, and it's cheaper than going to an elixir bar and buying one of those ginger turmeric cocktails for $12. So I would say I would do, if you can, up to say 12 grams a day of that liposomal. There are some studies that show that the liposomal in that dose is very similar to IV vitamin C at knocking out infections, right? So as soon as you feel that coming on, the zinc, if I feel something coming on, I just do zinc like every 2-3 hours. I just up it. I'll do the vitamin C. Then I also have this, I don't have it here. It's like a spray bottle of Herb Farm has. It's a throat spray. And it's
Colloidal silver?
Nope. It's just it's an herbal throat spray from Herb Farm. It's called throat. I don't have it. I have one downstairs. Oh, here it is. It's called, nope. This is a different one. Throat spray. Oh, no, wait. Echinacea propolis throat spray. This, I think, is a different one. It's a different variation of it. But Herb Farm has it. You can get one from Gaia. But carrying that with you when you travel, you may have to put it put it in a little bag coming back, going out. You know, the American people, I have little bottles of all kinds of stuff in all the different pouches and everything. And nobody at any of the U.S. securities stopped me. In London, they made me put my chapstick in every little bottle. They found every little bottle I had, and they made me put it in the plastic bag. So, it's coming back out of London. But okay.
Good news.
But that's
good
really
to know.
Good to carry. The other thing I like a lot is there's two of them. One's from doTERRA essential oil. It's called On Guard. And the other one is from Young Living, and it's called Thieves. And they're blends that are really potent antimicrobials that help to support you in fighting off stuff. I also usually carry some oregano oil. I'm just sitting here because I just emptied my thing out. This is it. No, this is the On Guard. It's a little bitty thing, and it's got a bunch of different, this is a bitty one, but they make it in a bigger size. And oregano oil is another option if you don't have access to the blends. So oregano oil. And you got to be careful with the oregano oil to dilute it properly because it can burn.
I've tried that as drops, and the capsules I succeeded with.
Yeah. So
I couldn't do the drops at all.
You can put it in, a little bit of coconut oil. Here's where my oil. You just put in a little coconut oil or olive oil. Or you can mix it with olive oil and just put it on your salad.
Okay.
Right? That's a great way to get oregano oil for anybody that has a hard time with it. You mix it into a little bit of olive oil and put it on your salad, and then it spreads it out. But if you try to do it, I've done this. My son decided he was going to be the brave guy, and he said, no, I'll try it. I said, this is straight oregano oil. No, I'm going to do it. And he went like this. And I'm like, no, don't do it. And he's like, it burns. It burns. It's strong. Right. But if you put it in water, I put it in water, but sometimes it floats at the top. So you have to stir it around. But a little bit of oil mixed with it, it's pretty. And avocado would be a good place to put it. right? Because it's creamy and it's fatty, and you just put a few drops, spread around, and take that. And this is kind of like your emergency kit that you just carry around with you whenever you travel, right?
Okay.
I also do a little bit of, I always carry some Oregon grape root, which is a strong antimicrobial.
I've heard of that.
Oregon grape, it's like a cousin to golden seal, which you have heard of, but golden seal is a bit endangered. And it's the berberine in there. The side benefit is it helps to balance blood sugar. But it's a really good one. And I just, like, if you were to see me, if I start to feel a tickle, it's like, pew, 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 pew. I'm like, I never see anything on a regular basis, but I'm like scouting it down. And within 2-3 hours, it's gone and I forget about it.
Right? I've managed to get rid of a couple of these, like attacking it like that.
Yeah. And that's what I think you always need to be, especially if you're traveling and, you know, you're going to be away for a while. You don't want to be down with colds and sinus infection.
Yeah, I suspect it's not that I'm catching it from other people. It's just things I naturally have. And then when it gets a chance, it takes root.
Exactly. And you're in a plane for 12 hours or 8 hours or whatever it is, in that recycling everybody else's stuff and not getting fresh air. Yeah, what is that? Elderberry's a good one. Yeah, I think elderberry does better when you're already, you know, like these are the things to catch it at the fly. But if you actually get into it, the elderberry can be helpful as well. Right. There's another thing that a friend turned me on to. It's a little tincture bottle like this with the spray. It's called Kick-Ass Biotic. And it's got a lot of antimicrobial type herbs in there in a spray form, and you can spray that. Right. And then garlic, and eating lots of garlic. Kimchi.
I just started. I have some kimchi at home and some sauerkraut for the first time.
Great.
So
great. And
just,
repairing
just
your
trying
gut.
Those out.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And another thing, I used to believe in the eat every 2 hours or 5 to 6 meals a day. And now I'm cutting that back to 3 without eating between meals and not eating 2 or more hours before bed. That was challenging to get started. I found that if I drink 2 cups of water, that the pain goes away long enough for me to get to sleep.
So you get pain when you don't eat?
Yes. It used to be like take Pepcid kind of pain.
Okay, so it's a burning
pain.
But
that was before I got on thyroid medicine, and now it's just the kind of an achy pain, not a sharp kind of pain.
So the stuff that I talked to Denise.
Oh, yes. I made notes.
Make notes.
I already do. I do capsules of slippery elm and marshmallow root, one in the morning, one in the evening. But now you've mentioned the take it out of the capsule.
Yeah, so I can just get them in powder form because,
right.
You don't get enough in the capsule to do anything.
I grind up flax and chia, and I just started adding the hemp seed and the maca root and a little bit of black seed every morning. And give it plenty of water so that it's just not gel anymore. It's pretty warm water, so it doesn't take a long time. If I got ahead of the game, I'd soak it overnight and not have to heat it at all. But it sounds like I can just add it to that. Mm-hmm. And it would.
Well, I'd rather see you do it separately.
Oh, okay. In advance of taking the meal.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's simple. It's like a cup of tea. It's 8 ounces. It's warm. You put cinnamon in there. You can put, if you are fighting something off, you can put any of the essential oils you want in there. Cinnamon is good. Vanilla is good. If you really don't like it, you can put stevia in. But I think with the DGL has got that sweetness. Licorice has a sweetness to it that just tastes really pleasant.
I haven't quite started doing the morning wake up lemon juice and water. I've tried it a few times. It seems very successful, but you also suggest other kinds of bitters or the lemon essential oil.
You can put lemon essential oil. You can
do orange. I can't do cayenne pepper in that as yet or anything hot. That'll like hurt. That. Would it be at odds with that to put the slippery elm with that? Are
you taking that right before
things?
Your meal? You want to have the slippery elm about 15 minutes before your meal.
Okay. And then the wake up thing even more before that.
Yeah, but if you have to take them together or right after each other, that's fine. I just wouldn't blend them together because Okay. They have different purposes.
Yeah, in the last month, I've cut out dairy and chicken and eggs, and that may have also helped even out the sleep issue. Mm-hmm. And now that I have animal protein like 3 times a week, down from once or twice a day, mm-hmm. I can actually start to pay attention now on how I'm doing energy-wise the following day. Actually might be more indicative of what I had the previous day, not what I had earlier that
day. Exactly.
Yeah. Whereas I was just looking, what did I have for breakfast? What did I have for lunch? Why am I tired this afternoon? It might have been the previous day.
It might have been the previous day, because that stuff stays in your system for a long time.
Yes, which I've noticed also now that I've done some nights without eating 2 or 3 hours before bed, I now can feel when I went to sleep without having finished digesting. When I wake up, I can tell.
Good.
I couldn't distinguish that before, and now it's very, very noticeable.
Interesting how when you make changes, you suddenly start to notice things that were status quo, but they were just all mushed and morphed together.
And given all my other issues, in the past, I was afraid of the HCL because I used to take the Pepcid because I had an acid stomach.
I would be afraid of it. I would not, anybody that has any history of gastritis or esophagitis, reflux, ulcer, anything like that, you want to do a good couple of months of the Slippery M DGL or something that's going to restore that mucus coating before you even try it.
Well, I've been good in that respect now for about 3 or 4 years. So I have tried the HCL, 3 capsules with, when I take the, heavy proteins.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that that matter, that makes a difference?
I was sleepy the next afternoon.
So I'll sleep you the next afternoon.
I'm learning now what non-animal things to get my proteins and fats from. And I kind of knew it, but I'm actually adding them to my diet. I get a lot of help with my diet from a home delivery called Thistle.
Oh, nice.
That's only in San Francisco, LA, and I think New York. And they'll ship anywhere once a week, but I get it 3 times a week, so it's pretty fresh.
Nice.
And the lunches are salads with like 30 ingredients. They rotate through 40 different superfoods, and it has greens in there I've never seen or heard of before. They rotate through different beans and lentils, which I think I might be sensitive to. But as I go along, I'm suspecting that I would become less sensitive, because there's like 30 foods I'm sensitive to. And I think that's largely historical. And I might, as you talked with the other lady, it's not the foods, it's me.
Yeah, it's your body not processing it, right?
So I'm hopeful.
Maybe a permanent, sometimes there's a permanent like enzymatic deficiency where you can't break down certain food constituents. Yeah. And other times it's just accumulative from, you know, from all the abuse we all did to ourselves all in the early years before we knew better.
Yeah. Before I was on natural thyroid, I was on antihistamines and the frequent antibiotics and antidepressants and the Pepcid. So the antihistamines, the Zyrtec stuff, I was taking that daily before it was over the counter. And the thyroid made that all go away after a few years. I was even seeing a doctor to get allergy injections for airborne stuff. And that eventually didn't need that. So everything's on the right track. I'm really happy.
That's great.
A little side thing that I noticed just for myself, I have no idea whether for other people, I'd been taking beta carotene for forever. And I noticed that if I had any vitamin A whatsoever, I started to get facial zits. No, it's when I stopped the vitamin A. The vitamin A was good at getting rid of it.
Oh, but okay. Just,
but it was like for several days after stopping vitamin A, it didn't matter if I was on beta carotene or not, I'd get the zits. Okay. So my guess is that having had the vitamin A did something to where the beta carotene was not effective for a while until I hadn't had vitamin A for a while.
When you stop it and then after a while, the zits go away even without the vitamin A?
I don't have them on the vitamin A. I stop the vitamin A, they show up. Even when I'm on the beta carotene,
right.
I take dry beta carotene because any capsule with oil base causes zits anytime, always. So my vitamin D has to be dry. My beta carotene has to be dry.
So here's what I would think. If it's even when you're on beta carotene, when you stop the vitamin A, when you say vitamin A, you mean preformed vitamin A.
Yeah, palmitate, right? If it's in the nut milks or anything.
So here's what I think might be similar to who said they were jaundiced. Was it Sharon? No, it was.
Oh, I turned orange once when I was using carrots. Drinking a lot of carrot juice.
So you probably have a genetic SNP that you're not converting it fully. And when you stop the preformed vitamin A, you may even have a homozygous, means like both parents gave you this. So that's something you can test, you know, if someday you do your genetic testing. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, I would say stick with, you may not need the vitamin A every day. So you, but see.
Well, I just avoid the vitamin A and avoid the oily capsules and the bad oils. And the beta carotene I take is adequate. I don't have any, I've had like 3 zits in the last year.
Okay, so I thought you said that it was when you stopped the vitamin A that you got the zits.
That was years ago. It's now been years since I've done any vitamin A whatsoever.
Okay.
It preformed.
But now if you take it, you get it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, stick with what you're doing. You figured out something that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So, I didn't sweat for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it was probably no salt because I was making my own meals and not adding any salt and nothing packaged. So I am adding back salt. And the problem is I'm just like the sad diet. People get trained on it. Just like I feel like I have to eat meat. I'm trained on it. I'm trained on don't eat salt.
Don't eat salt.
And I watch your kitchen show and I watch you pour in more salt than I eat in a week into one thing that you're going to share with 4 people.
Everybody's different, right?
That the rules against salt that came out of scientific research were taking a study out of context, that was only people who were already hypertensive in the study. So right. That doesn't apply to everybody else.
Right. And the thing is that some people need more salt than others. It has to do with your adrenals, right? And again, going back to the not sweating for years, when your adrenals are in dysfunction, that will interfere with sweating, right? So it could
be
salt, but also the salt, the adrenals cause you to pee out a lot of salt.
I do pee like within a half hour of drinking a bunch of water. So while I was on the plane, I couldn't drink water nearly as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
So I've been meaning to purchase the hydration
liquid. Oh, the hydration drops, that could be helpful. But I think that going back to the salt issue and the lack of sweating, they may be connected through the adrenals.
Okay. When right. I had the ASI test, my curve fit within the laboratory normal, but my doctor said that it was a little bit low in the morning and a little bit highish in the evening. And I know there's a big close tie between adrenals and thyroid, and on observing symptoms, they're almost indecipherable which is which. So I did the questionnaire in module 1, and thyroids came at 50% and adrenals came at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So... and even though I've been on thyroid medicine for 8 years.
Still showed up, yeah. So yeah. I think that if you don't get the adrenals handled, that the because it affects the thyroid conversion from T4 to T3. It affects the receptors on the cells, and it affects the conversion to reverse T3, which puts the brakes on.
That was my original problem, was the reverse T3. I had a very stressful period in my life, and that's what made the fake thyroid, made that not work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a clinic that 10 years ago was pretty unique in the country that put me on straight T3 with no T4. So I didn't have the raw ingredient to make reverse T3, was their explanation to me.
And that sounds like the, what's his name?
Holtorf.
Oh, yeah. Wilson also, Dennis Wilson.
Does the challenge thing. Yeah. Or the
well, it's the T3
protocol. Yeah, he does it like for a small period. Whole Torf actually puts people on T3 and leaves them on it.
But you have to measure, because I've seen people go on T3 like,
oh yeah, suddenly I was getting tested every 3 months.
Okay.
And my TSH went to zero, and it still is, even though I may have started to come up, even though I've only been on natural. Well, I was still taking 1/8 of my dose as T3.
Okay.
Because I was afraid to get off. I think my issue is conversion of T4 to T3.
I have a feeling that's what it is. So what I would do is put your numbers. If you go into the thyroid, it's like module 5, but there's a chart in the very first part where it says assessing, and it's the, what's his name again? The guy that, we have this chart. We have it in there, right? Yeah, we do. Where you can actually map out your TSH, your T4, and your T3 to see if they line up. And if they're, one is at one end and one's at the other, even if they're in the normal range, it suggests either an over or an under conversion issue. And that's
okay. So I have almost 10 years of history of all
you
seven
just
measures.
Map them all out there. Just have fun with it. Have fun with it. It's also in, isn't it in the master trackers, Lynn? Where they can just put it in there and see it. It's an actual thingamajig, a tab in the master tracker.
Oh, okay.
And you
find
can just
that.
Map that out and see what's happening at different stages if you still remember which kind of medication you are. Okay? So these are great questions, and we'll just keep exploring with these and try to get whatever balance happens with you to happen with you.
Yes, thank you.
How long ago did you have that ASI done?
It's been 2 years since the last one. I think I did it 2 years before that. I had two to compare, and they were very similar.
And yeah,
but I'm going to do the Dutch test.
I was going to say do the Dutch test just because you'll get all the metabolites and you can
right.
see how it's converted.
And I don't think that's overlapping with the oat test, is it?
Or it is does that a little bit with the oat test. There's about 6 different organic acids that the Dutch test will do. Methylmalonic acid. There's about 6 of them.
So I was going to do them about 3 months apart so I get some value, see if there's any differential on those. Okay.
Okay, great.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who else has questions? Help. Need support.
Kathleen's hand is open. You're up.
Who is?
Kathleen.
Catherine?
Where's Kathleen? Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen. Right.
Yeah, can you unmute yourself, Kathleen? There she goes.
There she is. Yeah. Okay, Kathleen and then Elizabeth. I saw Elizabeth put her hand up. A physical hand. Okay, Kathleen.
I actually have done a lot of work with the elimination diet, and I know what I can and can't eat. And here's what I found, actually. I mean, I don't do well with dairy at all, except I used to live in the Middle East, and when I lived there, I used to get fresh camel milk directly from the farmer, and I did not have any problem with that, none. And the interesting thing is, even if I am in France or Switzerland and I'm getting like cheese directly from the farmer who makes it, I don't have any problem with that either. Mm-hmm. What I'm wondering is if I've had good luck with like goat milk in the past, and I like yogurt made from milk. I don't eat it because I don't do well with the dairy stuff. But what about trying goat milk from a local farmer who is all organic and only has a few goats and making my own? Do you think that's worth a try?
It is, but what's the purpose? Is it just for pure taste? Is it for a specific reason? Because here's the thing, we're working with blood sugar here, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Whey protein, the whey part of the protein actually will raise insulin, but not blood sugar, which contributes to insulin resistance. And the non-cow milks have a higher percentage of whey. So whereas cow's milk might be 80% casein, 20% whey, the others tend to be more like 40% casein and 60% whey. Human milk is actually 80% whey and 20% casein.
Wow, didn't know that.
Right? But there's a difference between a baby who's relying on mama and needs all that, right? And a non-species. So I would say stick with the elimination diet the way we've laid it out without, and then, you know, let's get you like into a range where we're really happy. Maybe okay. Try playing around and saying, okay, I'm going to try this goat's milk from this local and culture it, right? If you're going to do dairy,
yeah,
non-cow, organic, blah, blah, you know, the whole bit.
Yeah.
No antibiotics, et cetera.
Right.
And cultured. Cultured. Right. What? Into yogurt or kefir.
Right. Into yogurt or kefir. But like, what about cheese? Because some of the cheeses are really well aged.
And rennet, and I would wait until you're ready to edit.
Okay.
Crack it down. Find somebody. See what the process is.
Okay.
Or make your own.
Okay.
Okay. But the thing is, like, the reason it's a why. Why is it for taste? Is it for? Yeah. It's strictly for taste, right?
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm for getting, let's eliminate, and then let's add things back in and try them. And sometimes you don't get an immediate reaction.
Right.
It's just like people say, well, I don't have a reaction to that. Well, you just told me you're exhausted. Yeah, I'm tired. You just told me that you get skin rashes. Yeah, I do. But I don't have a reaction to gluten or dairy. Like, how do you know, right? Because you're not going to just immediately have a reaction. There's those delayed and the buildup and the inflammation. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say, eliminate all the questionable stuff and then get yourself to this amazing baseline where your weight is where you want it to be. Your blood sugar is maintaining, okay. Checking your fasting insulin, making sure that that's at a good level. Your hemoglobin A1C is good. And then if you want to play and try when you've reached this great state of health, then play and try. Okay. Cause you'll know. You'll know.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, I will know.
Yeah. You'll know. Okay. You're like, I don't feel quite as good. And it may not be immediate. It may just be that you add it and you watch for over a few weeks and you go, I'm not sure I feel as quite as energetic. And maybe not. Maybe it is fine. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's where I would be. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Sure. Elizabeth.
Okay. A lot of what you've been telling other people has been real helpful. I know I need to, I had the digestive issues. I traveled and outside of the country and got the C. diff about a year and a half ago. And I just figured my weight would just come back normal, you know, quickly, but they said it could take a while and it's still, I'm slow to gain the weight. But one thing I noticed, and this also may be been under, you know, a fair amount of stress with, I retired in March, you know, finishing out my work. And then now this month getting ready to sell my house and moved to the country an hour away. So there's a lot of, I understand there's a lot of things. And I did do the 30 days of stress management, transforming stress, and that's real helpful. I noticed because my system has gotten, you know, it's kind of reactive that if I have any stress, boom, my gut clean, you know, my bowels clean out. And so trying to manage that. So I noticed I couldn't do the things in the morning, the drinks that could, you know, if I did any of those things that I added to water, boom, it, you know, it just clear me out too quick. So, so I've been drinking a smoothie for a long time. I don't know, probably a year now. And mostly I put, you know, nuts, seeds, greens, a little blueberries, things like some collagen, cinnamon, elderberry, dulse, and turmeric. But what I was wondering is I have a hard time drinking the whole smoothie. I would get exhausted if I drank the whole smoothie at once. So I kind of separated into two parts. But then today, maybe because I've been under a fair amount of stress the last few days, after I drank even the second part of the smoothie, I'd real tired and I go lay down and for a half hour. And then after that, I would feel okay, take a walk. And once I ate lunch, I was okay. So what I was wondering is, I know you talk about sometimes doing the green drink first, would it make sense maybe if I just had everything in the smoothie except for maybe the nuts? And
that's what I was thinking, that they're heavier and they're going to take more digestive capacity and they're going to slow you down more.
Okay.
They need to have those separately. You want the calories from it, but maybe later you make a nut pate,
uh-huh.
have it with lettuce leaves or celery or some other kind of veggies. right? Okay. To get the nutrition in, the walnuts and the hemp seeds are all good nutrition for you. But yeah, it sounds heavy. And then mixing nuts with fruit can sometimes be like they're at odds with each other in terms of digestion, and that could slow your digestion down as well. So I would say the greens with the fruit.
Oh, okay.
Or the nuts with vegetables, right? But like making them into a nut or seed pate or dip. And then having them, like I like to take like a colored green leaf for romaine lettuce and put in some of that, and then put in some sprouts and just make like a taco with it. But it gives you that heaviness with it that you can, you know, could stick to your ribs.
Okay, so you said the greens and the fruit could be in my smoothie.
Yep.
Are the seeds all right to put in, or should I leave those out?
They're not quite as, are you soaking them first of all? Are you soaking
them? Well, actually, I mean, when I say seeds, I mean like the ground hemp seeds and ground flax seeds.
I would see about the flax seeds, but I would try just doing the greens with the fruit, right? For a few days, see how that goes. And then experimenting with, I'm going to add some pumpkin seeds. I want some zinc today. I'm going to add some ground up hemp seeds today or some ground up flax or whatever. And like, you're just trying to throw the whole kitchen sink at it all at once.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. And then it becomes like a lot for your gut to handle. So try experimenting with individual ones. Like today I'll do it with this and tomorrow I'll do it with that and just see how it feels. You may find that certain ones are harder for you to deal with than the others.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it does seem like my digestion isn't quite woken up enough to handle a heavy meal. But at the same time, you know, I was worried if I didn't eat enough during the day, I wasn't going to gain the weight. But maybe it's just let my body, it'll tell me when it needs
to. It'll tell you when it's hungry. And if you have to eat closer together because you're trying to gain weight, that's what I said on this last call. I said, okay, so this rule does not apply if you're pregnant, nursing, or underweight and trying to gain weight, right? You need to eat more close together, which says to me, oh, if you're overweight and you want to lose it, but it's what you eat, right? You don't want to be eating foods that are going to stimulate a huge insulin need, right? Wow. So like celery sticks with, you know, a nut pate, that's not going to raise your insulin levels, right? So that's a good thing. And for people who are underweight, you know, sometimes you do need to do the four meals a day. I know it's ironic because they tell people who want to lose weight, eat six meals a day. No, that's for people who want to gain major weight, right? Not for people who want to lose it. And if you do get that hunger in between, we have a whole snack attack strategy that's in, we should pull that out as a separate document because it's so powerful for other things. Make a note of that because it's be so easy to just pull that snack attack strategy out. We already pulled out the grab and go for these guys, but I think it's just nice to have that as a, oh, my snack attack strategy. We'll start that right at the beginning of whatever program. Because it's just, how do you deal with that? I have to eat and it's not quite 6 hours or 5 hours or 4 hours yet.
Right. 'Cause then the other thing I was wondering is, could it be better for me to eat nuts where I have to chew them and get the enzymes with it versus having them ground up? Or is that?
Personally feel like with the nuts and seeds, you should always do them soaked. I mean, especially like the nuts because they're heavier, soaked, and then make them into a pate. Because here's the thing, you're not going to chew them as well as your blender.
Okay.
And then you end up with little bits of these undigested nuts that are going through. And if you have leaky gut, you have some inflammation there, there's no way that you're going to make sure, unless you're sitting there and like chewing every mouthful and checking it with your tongue. Are there, you know, there's still bits and pieces. So I prefer that you soak them and then blend them and make them into dips. And also, when you make them into dips, so if you're trying to lose weight, when you make nuts or seeds into dips, you put tons of vegetables, right? 3/4 of it's a vegetable, and you make this really nice, like, you know, tuna pate type of thing. And if you're trying to gain weight, then you do less of that, right? But you're eating it in a way that makes it more absorbed. It's easy to overeat nuts. And even if you're underweight, not a good idea to overeat nuts because it's going to put some strain on your liver.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, in terms of the fats, like digestibility of whole food fats, avocado is like so easy. It's like, it's just, it's got all, it's living. So it's got all the enzymes still in there. Whereas the nuts have been dried and the enzymes have been, they've been inhibited. And usually we soak it to release those inhibitors and let them go. But avocado, I mean, you know, if an avocado is bad, right? And they go bad, right? So they're still fresh and living, but they're providing you with good, fats. Olives are another one, right? When you get them, they're just, it's a whole food and it's filling, but it also has all the other nutrients from there. And coconut's my other favorite. And I like the fresh. I've been, not the fresh, I keep getting it frozen because I don't want to chase the things around, but I get the fresh frozen coconut meat, organic raw coconut meat that's been just flash frozen. And then I can use it to make yogurt or to make a dessert or make my chocolate cream pie or, you know, something along those lines. I like my desserts.
I have trouble with coconut because I think I have that, what's that one gene?
APOE4, 3, 4, and 4, 4.
So I think I don't do well with the saturated fats.
Mm-hmm.
I have to limit that.
Yeah, so you just don't do a lot of it. You can still do it, but not a lot.
It's not as much. Okay.
I just saw the first person. I think she was the first person I've ever seen. Maybe there was one or two others with an APOE 2-2. Oh. Like, wow, lucky you. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Thank you. Who else?
Sharon was next.
Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
With eliminating the grains, I can't have bread and pastas, for example. But what about a coconut bread that's made only with coconut flour, coconut, sea salt, and water?
Sounds good to me. Bring me some.
Oh, you have to wait in line here to get that on delivery day.
Wow. That sounds really good. Yeah. And the cool part is it's baked. Is it baked or dehydrated? Baked.
Baked.
The cool part about it is that the coconut oil is much more stable at heat. Like if it was almond, I'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't go too crazy on it because almond's high in omega-6 and almond is high in those fats that are going to break down at like 118 degrees. So, but coconut has a much higher point at which the fats start to oxidize. So that sounds amazing. Yeah.
Another question. You recommend lemon and lime a lot. And I can't do it in any sort of quantity because it's a trigger for my oral lichen planus, autoimmune disease. So, you know, I can't have the lemon water in the morning, for example.
Okay. How about apple cider vinegar? Does that work?
That I found has caused it as well.
Okay. All right. So just,
You know, I can do a squeeze in, you know, like a salad dressing or something like that. But do you recommend something else or just drink the water?
Don't you, if you use essential oils, if you use the essential oils, see if that does it. I don't know if that would do it if it's natural. But the essential oil of any of the citrus has limonene in it, which is a really good detox. It's really good for the liver. And also the one in tangerine actually has really been found to have a lot of anti-cancer properties. So, you know, you can vary your citrus oils and just see which one works. And if they don't work, then you get a diffuser and you aromatize them into the air. It smells pretty in your house. Yeah.
And the other question I have is I have a brown pigmentation that I get spots on my face. I know Lynn started to answer that for me, but I got so engrossed in listening to your conversations with other people that I didn't get back to her. And, you know, I just wondered if you had any idea what would be causing that and what I should do.
So is it, are they like freckle-like things or are they just like little spots?
Like I've got one that would be sort of half the size of my fingertip, you know, to the first knuckle.
And is it irregular or is it regular in shape?
They're around the sides anywhere.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes they call those liver spots and sometimes it's related to estrogens and imbalances in estrogens. You know, they're, unless they're thick and raised and start to get irregular and get blackish, I wouldn't be concerned. Or I'd have a dermatologist look at it and just to say, but I think they call those, the names for them are liver spots.
Okay.
Do they go away? I don't know. I mean, they do. I do tend to see as people get older, you start to have more. I have a few of them I have a few of them on my...
Yeah, I've got a couple on my face, but I've also found that in the little bit of research that I've done, because actually my 17-year-old daughter has some skin pigmentations, but it's kind of the other way, where it's pale.
It's white.
And, yeah, but there's a relation to stress and adrenal glands.
Right, and estrogen. There's certain types, and I have to look at the pictures to see the difference, but there's certain type that women get during pregnancy. So where there's an estrogen, and that's unusual in menopause that we get an estrogen, but we could have an estrogen dominance where the estrogen's low, but the progesterone's even lower, and it could create that.
Yeah, and that's why I was, because my daughter was, she started getting it as she entered puberty, and mine, well, I have a lot of kids, so it started with that, and but it really started coming up just over the last couple of years. So,
I actually think I have one little thing like that right here. I've been watching it for years, and it doesn't grow or anything. It's just, it looks like a flat freckle.
Yeah, mine is not, they're not raised in any fashion.
Yeah, yeah, it's just flat on your face. Yeah, that's similar.
You know, my doctor has looked at them. She's not concerned about
them. Not concerned. Yeah, so, you know, it's like all the things that we're doing to just restore balance has the potential of restoring balance. So looking at your hormones, like doing a Dutch test to see where those hormones are, keeping your liver, supporting your liver with the liver supporting foods. We've got the detox you've got access to in there, where, you know, that kind of thing can be really helpful. Milk thistle and burdock root and dandelion, and just like really keeping your liver like vibrant. And of course, avoiding toxins, which it sounds like you've got a pretty clean diet. And environment, you know, the environmental toxins are huge too, right? And so it's basically all detox starts with reducing the toxic load, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So part of the detox too would be, cosmetics and facial cleansing.
Yes, yes, really looking at those things. There's a lot of garbage in some of those things. A lot of garbage. And there's a lot of clean ones now. It's so much easier these days to get them. There's so many brands now that you can get clean cosmetics and clean skin stuff. So, you know, skin moisturizer, good old coconut oil works really well. Okay. Even with an APOE4/4. You can do it on your skin.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Was there anything else in the chat? I saw there's a whole bunch of chat messages, but if there's anything in there, let me know.
Absolutely. Cindy had her hand raised too.
Where is Cindy? Oh, there she is. You guys moved around somehow. Like I had you down to where everybody was. The only one that hasn't moved is Elizabeth. You're still up there in the corner. All right. Cindy, I just unmuted, but there you go. You're good.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, hi. So, in January, I started working with my naturopath, and I did a food intolerance thing.
Which one is it?
It's a combo E95 and A95.
That which company?
Meridian Valley.
Okay, I'm familiar with it. Okay.
So I was super surprised to get these results back that the foods that I'm to avoid that I normally ate were almonds. And I just heard you say that they're high in omega-6.
Omega-6.
I was just surprised. So those aren't such a good food anyway then. I just thought they were healthy. I mean.
No, they are. They are. It's in balance, right? So a lot of people, they drink almond milk, they eat almond butter, they eat handfuls of almonds, and they throw off their omega-6 3
fat. Right. That's probably what I did. So that was way off the chart. I'm totally to avoid that. I'm totally to avoid garlic, black beans, ginger, pinto beans, tomatoes, green beans.
These would be foods that you had been eating a lot of?
Yeah.
Leaky gut.
Okay. There's other ones that I'm supposed to do. So the avocado.
That's a 4. So then you have your 3s and 2s. And
yeah,
one.
The avocado is moderate. Some of these like parsley, you know, those are things that I just love adding to my meals.
Yeah.
Mushroom. So my question is, So you think that this is a valid test. I just am not. The reason I wanted to do this was because I felt like after all my research, I felt like I had a lot of hidden inflammation that I didn't know about because of I was getting sick a lot, and I still am.
Yeah.
Upper respiratory type things. And so that coupled with me wanting to lose weight and checking my blood sugar, which I've never done. My blood sugar is, my fasting was 93. Mm-hmm. My A1C is 5.5. And I never thought I had, my naturopath told me I'm insulin resistant, which I didn't know. So I guess okay. I'm trying not to eat animal products because of all the research I've been doing on that. So after hearing what some of these other people, you know, how restricted their diets are, I'm kind of feeling a little wimpy. But I guess my question was, do you think that this is valid and should I really stick to this food thing that I got?
That's what I feel about food allergy tests. They're good as a guideline. And what happens is, here's what will happen. If you just say, okay, I'm going to stick to this and I'm going to avoid all these foods and you're going to eat other foods more, the next test, these will have gone down and the other foods will
be gone. That's what I thought.
That's exactly what's going to happen. So what you need to do is really to work on your gut, stay away from the fours for a while because they clearly are an immune issue with you. Okay. But it's not like it's a lifelong allergy. None of these are lifelong allergies, right? It's a temporary situation that the gut needs to be addressed. And a lot of people go into taking these food tests and then I have 27 foods I'm avoiding. And then they go back and go, but now there's 27 new foods that I'm avoiding. And these other ones are still bothering me a little bit because they haven't come down. And then the next thing you know, you have nothing left.
Right.
Right. And it's frustrating. Then you get stressed out and then the cortisol levels are high, which causes you to not digest your food properly. You know what I'm saying? So I think that it's, you can use it valid and you can do rotation on the ones that are lower. And then I would say work on the leaky gut, right? And don't just like jump in. Okay, start at the top, mm-hmm. right? We start at the top. What are we doing from here that's causing our digestion to be off? And that's where we do the breathing, you do the chewing, you do all that stuff. And then, okay, how's the upper GI? Because if the upper GI is a mess, then you're naturally going to get irritation and inflammation down lower where the absorption happens, right? So we need to just go through step by step. So I would say get yourself going on I'm losing it at the end of the day. I've been talking for four straight hours or more.
I'm avoiding dairy. I'm gluten-free completely, you know, to the best of my knowledge. Dairy, no dairy. And so those are the two big ones. I'm off gluten and dairy, very little animal protein at this point. I'm totally not doing eggs because that's on this list.
Okay. What about some of the others that are in our top six, the gluten, dairy, eggs, corn, peanuts, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, and peanuts?
I don't do any of those.
You don't do any of those. Okay. So that's your elimination diet.
Soy was the one that I've been listening to this newest little summit that's on the air right now, online right now, and they're saying soybean isn't so bad for you.
Soy isn't bad for you. It's a perfectly good food, but soy is bad when it becomes like the mainstay of your diet. Okay. Soy is bad when it's processed. Soy is bad when it's turned into hydrolyzed soy protein. So, you know what I mean? And then like everything has soy in it. Like we go in this culture with a little bit's good. There's some good things about soy unless you're sensitive to it. Yeah. A lot of people are sensitive to it because it's been hidden in so many things and we're getting this inadvertent exposure.
Okay.
Right? So soy's not bad, but I would say for an elimination phase, you avoid those top six. You avoid the ones that showed up in your bad column. You might even do like a week or two of avoiding everything and you can water fast, you know, right, to get out of it all or do some real simple thing while you're working on the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I never noticed anything. I never had any symptoms of when I ate these foods. I never thought, oh, I feel whatever. I never did.
No, it's more of that, what's called the delayed hypersensitivity. So there are other symptoms that you have, like, well, weight that won't go away in spite of blood sugar, whatever symptoms you're experiencing. They're not like directly related. Like when you have let me see if I can explain this in a way that I don't go into a 3-hour discussion. Okay. So we have these immunoglobulins. They're the antibodies that fight off infection. They'll attack our own body in autoimmune disease. They'll attack foods and allergy reactions. And there's this delayed hypersensitivity, IgG type hypersensitivity, which is probably what that test was. Look to see if it says anywhere whether it did an IgG and IgE. I don't think the Meridian does. I think they're just, it's an inexpensive one compared to some of the others. There are others that do IgA, IgG, IgM.
I don't think that.
It's probably an IgG. So it's a delayed hypersensitivity. It won't show some of those things that are immediate hypersensitivity because those are IgE hypersensitivities. And those are the things like you eat strawberries, you get a rash, right? Mm-hmm. You get exposed to certain, like grass, you start sneezing. Those are IgE, immediate hypersensitivity. My husband has one of those to soy. He literally, if he even gets a whiff of soy flour in him, he starts to feel it in his gut. And then the next thing you know, he's
okay. I don't have anything like that.
Yeah. So that's okay. That you don't have any IgEs. Most IgEs are no-brainers. You don't have to spend any money with anybody to find them out. You just go, I eat that, I get a rash. It's a no-brainer, right? Whereas some others are slow delayed. I didn't know I had a gluten issue, but I had some chronic digestive stuff. And I had this stuff, like I would get tired after eating certain meals. And this was decades ago. And so I didn't equate it to gluten. And then when I started going away from it, and I stayed away from it for a long time, and I was at some event, this was probably 30 years ago, I was at an event and I'm like, oh, well, they have whole wheat pasta with broccoli and a nice, I'm just going to try it. And I was exhausted, right? And I got a tiny little exposure to gluten. And I didn't, it wasn't like, oh, I'm throwing up, I'm vomiting or anything like that. It was just like, I feel tired all of a sudden, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's some of those subtle things that the body's just trying to fight off a food as if it's an infection. And you know how you feel when you have an infection, right? Like when you have some sort of a flu coming on, you feel exhausted because your body's like spending all its energy trying to fight that stuff off.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say for you, if you can do like even a 10 day of avoiding those top six plus the ones that showed up for you, like all of them that showed up for you. Are there enough foods left that you can do 4, 5 days, 10 days of just those foods?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I would do that. And then you would start to add back in the others. But in the meantime, go to the digestive module and just start working on the pieces through that. And,
I'm going to get a couple more clarifications here. So, I don't have any problem being vegan, really. I'm surprised by that, but, avocado. So I guess I'm answering my own question. Avocado's on my avoid list. So I was trying to find a good dressing for the veggies, like, because I love kale, but I can't eat it plain.
There's tons of those recipes. If you go on the extras drop down, every single one of my recipe books is in there. The sweet spot is loaded with, like, that probably has the most abundant number. Go to the digestive book, because some of those have, I snuck in some herbs and things that help heal the gut into some of the dressings. Not quite as many dressings in there. Play with them.
And miso is okay. It's, I'm going to avoid it now, like what you just said, but is miso being a fermented soybean? Is that?
Generally, so I'll give you my husband is the example, who's deathly allergic to soy. He can eat little bits of, like, he could eat a miso soup and not have a problem.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And the last thing is, with the weight loss, issue, without animal protein, you know, chicken and all that, I find it hard to stay lower carb. And I understand that I'm not doing a real keto, you know, because I know that's not good for you. But so with lentils and garbanzo, which are not, I tolerate those, but my blood sugar will go up. So it's right.
So the book that I want you to get download is the blood sugar book.
Okay.
Okay. And then I've been 100% plant-based for 33, 35 years, and I eat low carb that way.
Oh, you do?
I do. Very low carb, lower carb than most people I know.
Even with the beans and everything?
I don't eat beans. I don't eat any of that.
Oh, so you just do veggies?
I do veggies and nuts and seeds and avocado. And if you can't do avocado, then you do the nuts and seeds. A lot of great recipes there. And they're very filling. Like last night, my husband threw together, he chopped up cauliflower and some red onions and can't remember what else. And we put this over and he made a tahini dressing for it. And we put it over a bed of arugula.
Yum.
Heavenly. Filling. Yeah. I couldn't finish it. It was so filling.
My problem with nuts is I eat too many. I eat them by themselves.
Yeah, don't eat them by themselves. I have to make that. When I break my rule of eating them by themselves, it's the next thing you know, I just ate half a pound of nuts.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so the blood sugar book, is that like the title of it?
It's the Sweet Spot Solution Recipe Guide. And if you go on the site, on the extras, up at the top, there's an extras menu. And then it'll show all of the recipe books that you have access to.
And that's what you're talking about when you said with the blood sugar book.
And then definitely, you know, working with the blood sugar. I'd start with the gut.
Okay. And as far as the sweet spot, when doing the body balance, what is it that we need to, why do we need to do an extra, the sweet spot? Isn't that the same of what we're doing?
Well, you have it included in there. I've made a few changes I talked to the web guy and he says, wait till you're finished making the changes and then I'll move them over to body balance. Not major changes. It's just like restructuring in order. Mm-hmm. But the main thing was getting the extra calls. Like it's weekly calls with me, just focused on that for the next. And then there were a whole bunch of bonuses that, got donated. And if any of those appeal to you, like, you know, that's why we're charging $99 is because it just is extra, whatever.
Okay.
And mostly, you know, for what we do is like the people who did Sweet Spot last year can come back and do Sweet Spot again and they pay $99. But if they want all those bonuses, they pay $199.
Okay.
So they pay. But for body balance, I just said, we just want to cover the extra administrative cost of, you know, giving you all those things.
Great.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, then we're going to have weekly calls every week. Instead of the monthly calls here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Rita Marie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Frances Capocia has her hand up.
Okay, where's Frances? Is she on the...
Yep, she just popped on.
Oh, she just came on. Hi, Frances.
Hi, how are you?
Good. It's a nice Italian name.
Oh, yeah. It definitely... I don't look Italian, but my parents are both Italian. Yeah. So, yeah. I got a little bit behind. I was away on a trip and kind of been able to stay quite on track like I was. But I guess I just had a general question. I know you've been talking a little bit about leaky gut. I think I'm still working on the candida and leaky gut right now. And I kind of feel like I kind of made my list of food very small at this point, but I'm okay with it. But I don't really want to lose too much weight or anything because then I'm kind of like where I want to be. So
yeah, so you know, if you lose a couple, you gain a couple, it's no big deal. But you know, make sure that you actually eat to capacity.
Uh-huh. Right.
Don't just like, oh, I'm still hungry, but I'm busy. So you know what I mean? That's where you start to continue to lose the weight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause sometimes at night I really don't feel like eating dinner. And if I skip it, that's probably not the best.
You not if you're not, if you want to lose weight, it's a great thing to do, but you don't want to force feed either. So you just ask yourself, you tune in and you, what will my body really digest well right now? What can I have right now that would really fill me? And that would feel good. And you know what I find, and this is just for me, but when I make yogurt, like a cashew yogurt or coconut yogurt, boy, I have to be careful because I can eat too much of that. And then, you know, so if you like that flavor, and you can also make the yogurts and then make them into salad dressings by adding basil and oregano, whatever else you like. But that's a good way too, is those nut cream and pâtés when you eat them more deliberately as a filler food.
Now, with leaky gut, though, is it better to do smoothies because they're more pre-digested?
It's best to do them blended, right? That's why I said the pâtés, the blended, the dressings and the dips and stuff like that.
Okay. And then let me see what else I had. Let me see. I was wondering yeah, if I should do food sensitivity test, or do you rather us do the elimination?
You know, here's when I actually do the food sensitivity, is if you've done elimination, you've eliminated almost everything. There's still some sensitivities there. We don't think it's leaky gut. And there's like, maybe there's something like broccoli that you're sensitive to, and we're just not picking it up. But I'm not a big fan of them, quite frankly. When I first got into practice like 27 years ago, I was running them on everybody. Oh. And I got so discouraged because everybody was coming back with 27 foods. And then when I would run them, I would take them off of that food, and then they would come back with 27 new foods.
Oh, okay.
To deal with. Yeah. And I just got so frustrated. Then a couple of my colleagues actually took those tests. They took a person's blood sample. They sent them to two separate labs, ordered the same lab, but with different name, and they got different results.
Oh,
that's when I said, oh Lord, there are some companies that are more reliable than others, but I just got to the point where I think there's a lot of transience to how our bodies are going to react immunologically. Just because I have an antibody against it today, I may not have an antibody against it in a week.
Oh, okay.
Right. Cause kind of like bacteria, right? Kind of like your body's going to react to whatever is in front of it at the time. And there are some that will always show up. What really discouraged me with those tests is that I ran my husband through it, and he has this known sensitivity to soy. Known. I mean, he's deathly allergic. And it came back and said he had a mild sensitivity to it. So if you do the test and something comes back, it means at that particular time, your body was reacting to that. Right. Yep. And if it is something that is more, it's like, oh, I do eat these foods all the time. You know, there's probably something to it that it's good to do. It's good to use as a basis to do an elimination diet. But all said and done, I think we still need to play with it and use elimination diet principles in order to figure it out.
Now, with my family being Italian, I know a lot of times there's that methylation problem, but I've never gotten tested for that. Do you recommend getting that
test? I like getting genetic testing because we know where to go. I have double MTHFR. I have methylation issues. Doesn't mean you're destined. It means you have to be more careful about certain things, exposures and that kind of thing. But I like the 23andMe test. I think it's a really good, I don't like the 23andMe test anymore. Let me just say this. I liked the 23andMe test before they took out a whole bunch of the SNPs. And so I'm actively looking at several others to see. I know that Ben Lynch was going to be doing one which had more in it. I know that everything's like, we're going to be doing it. So there's two I know of that I've gotten references from that I want to look at to see if they're better.
Yeah, that'd be good. And then one last thing is I do get hair highlights, and I've never asked anybody if that can have a lot of chemicals because I don't know. It's not like the dye.
Unless you go to a place that says, like I go to a place that's called Simply Organic. And even then it's not 100%, but it's an organic hair, whatever highlighter. And and you can tell, you walk in there, you don't smell. Like if you go into I go in to get my hair done and I'm like, or cut, because before I highlighted it, I'm like, this stinks in here. This place doesn't, right? So unless they say it, they will advertise it if they are. If not, it is. But you can look. What town are you in? Where you live?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, good luck. No.
Yeah.
Well, you said New York. I'm like, yeah, you can find it, or LA, or whatever.
Florida. I do.
But some of those Midwest kind of places are.
I go down to Florida quite a bit. I don't know, West Palm Beach. Maybe they might have some.
Yeah. Go online and just do a search and just see where you see some of these organic salons.
Salon. Yeah.
Okay. Organic, that use organic or non-toxic hair stuff.
Because I have been getting quite a few of those, and I didn't know quite, most of those hairdressers were like, well, this is all we have, and they're not going to buy organic for you.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And there's some, she said there's a training that you have to go through because it doesn't take the same way. And there's special things you have to do to make sure. And so you have to get special training to make sure that you know what you're doing. Otherwise, you can really mess somebody up.
Okay. And then, so the leaky gut stuff then is in module 2. I started it, but I got, like I said, I got pretty behind on it, and I wanted.
Yeah, I would go into, there's no such thing as behind, right? You just go in pace. So behind where you wanted to be, but so I would say go in and start from the beginning. Don't just jump right into the gut piece of the digestion. Just start at the beginning because there's a lot of little things there make a huge difference. How we're chewing makes a difference on healing leaky gut. Because if you're not chewing your food all the way and you're stressed out when you're eating, the undigested particles are going to aggravate the gut. So start at the beginning and work your way through.
Well, because when I drink this, when I have smoothies, I know you're supposed to chew them, but obviously I've been trying to make them not as sweet because of the candida that showed up on the test I did and all that. And I've done some cleanses for that recently too. So I just don't know where it's all at right now, but.
All right. So in the digestion book where I told, so who was I told? I can't keep track of who I told.
Yeah.
But in the drop down that says extras, there's the leaky gut, there's the digestion book, and then there's the blood sugar book. Oh. Both of those will have smoothies that have no sweetener. Now my smoothie.
Okay.
It's delicious. My husband actually makes them now. He's trained. He puts in all kinds of veggies and greens and stuff. And he puts mint and he puts ginger and he puts avocado and lemon or something a little bit sour. And they're delicious. There's no fruit in them.
Oh, okay.
They're savory. Yeah. And we have plenty of recipes for that.
But it'd be okay to eat a salad, even though you have leaky gut, if you
chew it. But just chew it well.
You have to chew it good. Okay.
Yeah.
Get kind of bored if I'm always doing
something. If all you're doing is drinking, but do more drinking and make sure that when you are eating that you're doing it in that relaxed state. And if you have to do a, you know, a quick meal on the run, that you do it as a drink.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I usually only eat the salt. I drink during the day or I'll have yogurt. And at night I'll actually sit down because I can sit down and chew. But when I'm going like crazy, I don't always get to do that.
I like the juices the most. I've been doing carrot, lemon, cucumber. I put tons of
with carrot.
I know.
Get the blood sugar meter. Start to measure that.
Okay. I haven't checked that.
Yeah. Carrot's super sweet. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes people get away with, they can do this, the carrot, if they blend in something fatty, like avocado or coconut or nuts or seeds, and they can deal with it.
Because I my biggest concern is, and I've always kind of felt this way, but I haven't tested the thyroid yet or hadn't done the lab work, is just not feeling, you know, high enough, you know, not feeling normal. I feel kind of down all the time. And I don't know if it's food or is it leaky gut or what it is.
Yeah. So have you been through most of module one with establishing some of the habits?
Yeah. Actually, the water makes me feel the best. When I do the water, I definitely feel better.
That's good.
And I do exercise. Make sure I have to do that too.
Yeah. So those establishing, make sure their habit. But then at the end of that, even if you skip the leaky gut part, the digestion enhancing strategies.
Okay.
Yeah. I probably should have reordered them, but somebody said to me, well, you're going right into digestion. Why don't you do that? And in retrospect, I probably should have had that before the leaky gut because it does contribute to helping, you know, I'm not leaky gut, but the elimination diet.
So
next time we do it, we're going to reverse those orders.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. Who else? Anybody else have issues? I saw some of our coaches on here earlier. Anybody else? Are you guys learning? All right. Well, it's time to go then. We've been here for over two hours. I figured these calls were always going to be around 2 hours-ish. So we're good. We're just a little over. I appreciate everybody being here. And I'm going to unmute the lines. And on the count of three, we can all just say goodbye to each other. And if you have questions that come up, you have the Facebook group, and you can put your comments in there, and we're there. So, yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 See you next time.
Bye.
See
next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.